Amen. Thank you, Wesley Ringers, and thank you all for coming on this Christmas Eve service as we prepare to receive the Christ child. It's been several weeks of longing, of waiting for Jesus to come as we have progressed through Advent, but we are blessed to have your presence here at Central UMC. I'm excited for the service this evening. To hear your voices fill this space, to hear the choir, to just go through the story in a new way, and to hear it in a new night with new life experiences. If your children want, there are activity bags in the back there if they did not get one on the way in, but we just want this to be a full service in every way, and so thank you. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to have the Advent reading to remind us of where we've been. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, be with us. Open up our hearts, minds, and souls to your word this evening. All that awaits us, the gatherings, the food, the presence in the coming days, Lord, it's going to be there when we leave here tonight. So let us be present and hear a fresh word from you and let your light into our life in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through God. And without God, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in God was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Advent waiting is almost complete. Our altogether peace, hope, love, and joy, as symbolized in these four candles that are being lit, rest in the trust of God's promised Messiah, the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, whom angels announce, shepherd celebrate, the wise worship, and the meek treasure. Join me. We light these candles because we have seen the light, and we believe increasing that light does make a difference in the world around us. We light these candles because we want to be people of the light, who know a God who loved the world so much. This God chose to be born in a manger in the midst of the darkness. We light these candles as a sign of the light of the world that is coming into our darkness, and we sing with joy.
Let us pray. Gracious God, whose word became flesh, we give you thanks for Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, the hope of all nations, the eternal love from generation to generation, and the joy of your steadfast presence. Grant us the patience and fortitude to live into the light that knows neither absence nor end. In the name of Christ our Savior, amen.
You join with me in the call to worship. Behold, I bring you good news of joy, great joy for all the people.
Thank you. People who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, we call upon you now. Almighty and loving Father, we step into a moment of intimacy with you, and you immediately respond by drawing near. As we enter this sacred space, we are reminded that you choose us and came to us in the form of a baby boy, your only son. You did this just because you love each of us so immensely. This love did not stop at the incarnation, but remained as you sacrificed that son on a cross for our redemption. That love still envelops us to this very moment. It is in this season that we are most reminded of what you gave up for us. The glory and power were all yours, and you laid them aside just to be close to your creation. Your light broke through the darkness and does even still today. All of the world seems to pause, many without even realizing why, during this season. It's in these moments of reflection that your voice shouts, "Joy to the world!" This joy and peace is available to us here in this place, the community around us, and to all who but call upon your name. May we take advantage of the quietness of souls this time of year and not miss an opportunity to speak life to others in your name. The name is above all names, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and King of all kings. Forgive us for squandering the life you so sacrificially gifted to us, and bring us back to close communion with you as we pray together with full understanding from the Holy Spirit the prayer you have modeled for us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We will be taking up an offering this evening. It's the Bishop's Christmas offering. It supports ministry and organizations with the focus on children. So with that in mind, would the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
Thank you so much. I love that song. This is the season of lights. It's something that I began to appreciate in a new way as a father. We used to drive around back home from, I lived in one town, we lived in another, and our kids started looking out the windows, and Caleb started looking out the windows, and he was 2 and 3, and said, "Look at the beautiful lights. The beautiful lights," and he just light up anytime he saw any Christmas lights. So we just got in the habit of driving around and looking for them, and now dabbling in our own bit of light display. But there's something about this season, whether it's the darkening hours or the light of Christ, we're drawn to the light. But light itself is something wonderful. Light is something, this story that we have beckons us forth, because in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." Light is something, one of God's most wonderful creations. Did you know that it moves at a rate of over 670 million miles per hour? Right? That means it can go around the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Right? The sunlight can pierce into the ocean 262 feet, which is why we have such beautiful coral reefs and life that can go down so deep. As a child, you can put pegs in a light bright board and make beautiful displays, which some of you may have waiting for you in the morning. The light we see from the sun takes 8 minutes and 19 seconds from when it shoots off to come here, to span that 91 million miles. And it's just even more amazing when you think about the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 4.3 light years away. That means it has to travel that distance at that speed for a whole year before it arrived here. Just the massiveness. And you look at all the other stars and you realize, as that psalm said, we sing to the praise of our Creator. Light is such a wonderful thing. Even though we can't see all of the light, it is still there, the infrared, the other rays. We have come to embrace it as a way of saving ourselves as we drive at night in lighthouses on the ocean. And for me, I think one of the greatest things about light is it reveals my loved ones' faces. It's something that as a child, I think I may have forgotten, just the revelry of just light in the darkness. And what that did, and maybe in fatherhood, I've captured it in a new way, seeing my kids read their books late into the night, or someone asking for a nightlight to keep the darkness back, because we don't know what's in the darkness. But light does beat back the darkness. And I realize not everyone here has been in the light this year. For some, 2019 is a year they wish could go away. We need 2020 and new dreams. Maybe it's been months of longing for someone you've lost, for a new direction, for a way forward. Maybe light is just on the other stack of those papers I need to finish, or on the other end of my email inbox I need to complete. Maybe at Christmas this year I'll feel like I did last year, and I can again capture whatever that was, that peace, that longing desire that fulfilled. But I think some of us still fear that there's a closet deep inside of us, that if we would open it up, just ours, no one else's. But if we would open ours up, the darkness would overtake the light. And so we lock it away, we hide it, we don't allow our true selves to be revealed by God's loving light. But friends, I'm here to tell you what you already know. We can celebrate. Love came down at Christmas. We can celebrate over what the shepherds saw and what the wise man followed. That God acted. That he interrupted history to allow his plan to be fulfilled. Friends, we need a fresh reminder that all of our dating systems shifted and changed on this day. God, the most truly human person we know in Jesus came. And in him there was no darkness. Or as the Apostle John says, he was the life, the true life, and the life that was the light of man. And the darkness has not overcome it. I think sometimes, though, when we start thinking of Jesus in our lives today, because we're telling this story again to remember, we begin to think that, yes, he was the light in my life, and yes, he's a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And we take it a little bit literal, and we begin to think, I can produce a great light. I can shine a light, too. I'm going to shine my light. And we manufacture a light that shines out, and it allows us on our path to go forward. And we illuminate where we're going. We're like, God, we're shining the light and we're seeing things. And then every once in a while, we see other people, right? And it's like, oh, I'll go see them. But every once in a while, I hear God calling. What about over there? It's like, no, God, my light's really good right here. I can't see my feet if my light goes over there. And it's like, okay, but I just don't want to see that. Because if the light of the world illuminates that and somehow I'm connected to that, then that love that came down that changed my life is something I need to send out to others. And we say, all right, well, God, I won't let people see my light as much. I know you said to put it on a hill, but if they see this, then I'll just shine a little softer so then they're not upset that I'm not shining the light on them, right? Because they're comfortable over there. I didn't know about them before I saw them, and it's down. And it's like, no, God says, when the light comes in you, when you accept that light, that love that came down, the beauty of this scene that all people, not just those people who had access through the covenant to come to God, but all people began to have access to the love of our Lord. And as we know his life through forgiveness, Jesus said, I am the true light, the light of the world. So we're like, okay, so we'll shine a little bit brighter, but still I think we miss it. I think there's something beautiful about these candles shining because what's great about it is they're indiscriminate. The light just falls. And it shows everything, including those places in our life we don't want it to shine upon, including our neighbors who maybe we didn't have time for before that God is calling us to. We realize that there's some things we don't want the light to show. But friends, I'm telling you, the good news of tonight is that with the strength of the Lord, with the light of the Lord, your light can shine there from God. Not of your own doing, not of something you manufactured, but you can do it in a way that will change the world. Not when we're striving after and pointing our light upwards to climb the pinnacle of success, but when we live in that right side up kingdom, where love goes out to the marginalized, the poor, our neighbors, our loved ones, the people in our homes. Talking about light got me thinking about light. The other day, we had some people over from the church and got caught up in doing a puzzle by Thomas Kincaid. And those are addictive puzzles, and it's still not done, but it will be soon. I don't know if you know much about Thomas Kincaid. He died in 2012, an American treasure, at 52. He died too young, but I want to share a bit of his story, and I think there's a picture that you can look up as I read some of his own words about how light, he was called the painter of light, came into this world. He said, I became a Christian in 1980 when I was about 22 years old. And I would say that when I was saved, my art got saved. It was then that a very interesting transition began in my life. I started to see the characteristic of light begin to develop within my work. The darkness was leaving, and the light was beginning to break forth. For example, my paintings prior to that time were very much self-defining and idiosyncratic. They were very much my own expression. Now I paint anything within the visible world, particularly anything within the external world outdoors. I like creating worlds where nature is flowering. I love visions that are almost idyllic in their conception. So to me, the logical starting point in expressing the world of beauty is light. Light is a force by which all things become visible. And as I began noticing light emerging more and more in my work, I began being known as the painter of light. I also think that if you search the roots of creative expression, you will find that in many cases, the artist creates in today's world out of a deep need, out of a pain, or out of a lack in their life. This is the opposite to what began to emerge in my art. After I put Christ in the center of my life, I had an overflowing of joy, an overflowing of peace, and an overflowing of passion for living that began to find itself expressed through my canvases. And so, rather than creating out of a need or out of a lack or out of a pain or a desire to be noticed, I created out of this servant's heart, a desire to pour onto the canvas something that is bubbling up within me, the well of joy that was now in my own life, and to serve others with that joy and to create for others visions of peace, tranquility, and God's love. I have since that time really studied Scripture, and I've discovered how light is a fundamental expression of God's character. In fact, it's the first thing that he declares to be good in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, we see him creating light. The first sentence in Scripture that is attributed to God is, "Let there be light." And then, following that, he makes the statement, "And he saw that it was good." We know that light is foundational in God's character. Christ is described as the light of the world. Christ told us to be lights and that we are a light on a hill. We are to let our light shine before men so they could see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Well, all these scriptures point to the fact that light is characteristic of God. And I believe it should also be characteristic of believers. And so, in my paintings, it's a literal fulfillment of that scripture. We can really see light take on transcendent quality within the paintings, not just as a visible evidence of material things illuminated by the force we call light, but as a spiritual dynamic within the painting. When people see that light, it's not just the visible light they see, but it's a spiritual light too that really touches the inner darkness of the soul. Friends, I hope that if you have an inner darkness of the soul, that perhaps Christmas Eve 2019 is a night where you let the light in. We heard it said in the beginning, but there was also tohu vavohu. There was chaos and darkness in the beginning, and out of it, God created. There is no chaos in your life. God cannot allow the light in. When Israel was in exile, it was by a pillar of fire lighting the way. When he wanted to be made known, the fire came down to the temple and lighted it up. Friends, on Christmas, the power of the universe humbled himself and became known as an infant. There's so much darkness that can gather in our souls. And every night, it's darkest right before the dawn comes. Friends, as we think of what's ahead in our lives, as we imagine the days ahead, let us remember that God's light still shines. That Christmas is this reminder that 500 years of waiting for God to come back and reign came true for Israel, and in a new way for the rest of us. That when this love came down in this scandalous way, that the light could not be overtaken. And as we receive the light this evening, let us, in the darkness, in the silence, remember what it was like to wait for that light the first time. And maybe again we can receive it like it was the first time. And let that light overcome our souls in a new and beautiful way. The light of the world, the hope for all mankind, shining brightly for all. Friends, as acolytes come forward to receive the light, remember to tip the unlit candle onto the lit candle as we spread this fire, this spark that glows into a flame, into a raging fire of God's love. and as we sing. As this light is, it's not one we can perpetuate forever. And so I invite you to extinguish the flame and allow the light to come in and know your darkness, that you may shine the light as we go forth, proclaiming joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let Friends, Christmas is a few short hours away. When we encounter, let everyone who sees us know that there is light in this world, and it is the life of man. Amen.